Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, October 8th, 2013. What a great and fabulous day here in central Pennsylvania. Beautiful fall day. And let's get started right away as we look to the fall of gold today. We had gold. Gold was up most of the day. It was down in early morning trading. Markets opened. Gold went up. And we had just a short little down tick by $3.50 at $13.19. We have silver down four pennies at $22.42. Platinum was down. Was up $6 at $14.09, and Alan's making way too much noise, distracting me. You have palladium up $9 at $717. So gold down $3.50 at $13.19, silver down 4 pennies, $22.42, platinum up $6 at $14.09, and palladium up $9. Also at $717. The USDX, of course, we know with gold being down a little bit today, was up 0.11, moved back up over 80.03. Crude oil was up a couple cents today, about 50 cents at 103.50. And the paper markets today continue to reverse. To me, big days in the markets are 700, 800 points. We're down 160. At 14,776. Yeah, the NASDAQ down 75. That was down 2% at 36.94. And the S&P was down about 1.25%, down 20 at 16.55. And again, not a lot of the movement in the 10-year yield. You're still looking at about 2.64%. So everybody's still holding their breath. No one's really not sure. Will they? Won't they? Are we? Are we not? What are we going to do? Will they do something? And markets are starting to get a little jittery. But, of course, a little bit of strength in that dollar, I guess, because, Al? Good afternoon.
Because of what?
Because.
because.
The wonderful, wine from the Wizard of Oz. Obama came out and he urged Boehner to hold vote to reopen. He says he told Boehner he's willing to negotiate with those Republicans on their priorities, but not under the threat of economic chaos. Obama spoke to reporters at the White House today in the midst of the eighth day of the partial shutdown, and we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. And he's, again, they're urging to reopen the government. But, ow, I saw numbers that even though they have the shutdown, 83% is still working.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's...
It's not really a shutdown. They make it sound so dramatic.
Oh, I know.
And you know, this is equivalent, 17%. This is equivalent to taking one day off a week. All right, basically. Not even quite that much. It's equivalent to taking 7 hours off out of a 40-hour work week. That's not that big a deal.
But he's also looking, he also said that he'd come out and he'd... is willing to negotiate changes on the health care law. But he first wants them to pass a bill to stop a partial government shutdown. But you also know that if they approved anything before he negotiated, you know he'd come back and not negotiate or just give them some little token and said, here you go. This is what I said we would do. But talking about shutdown, but I'm not sure which we should talk about first, Al, heating oil or heating household heating bills this winter are going up and going up about...
You know what they say.
What do they say, Al?
Heat rises. So I suppose heating bills have to rise too, don't you think?
Is that what they say?
Well, it's kind of a law of physics, I guess.
Yes, I know.
Sure,
heat rises as a law of physics, but I'm not sure that's what
so
they...
So maybe heating bills have to rise too.
Maybe. But they're actually saying that they'll rise about 2%. And I got the breakdown here that how they'll be rising. But they said if temperatures drop, that you could actually have heating oil costs rise around 9% from a year ago. And that's significant.
It is.
But so they're talking about, we'll just go ahead and get into this. Most households are going to be paying more. Prices for natural gas, electricity, and propane should be higher. 90% of U.S. homes will incur higher heating expenses. What I think is interesting is the natural gas user. They're going to see the biggest percentage increase after having 2 years of historically low prices. Their heating bills should rise to an average of about $680, the Energy Department said today, and that's about 13% higher than a year ago. However, it's still 4% below the average for the previous five winters. And why I find that interesting is because we're exporting so much natural gas. You would think that the prices would go lower, but now that the demand for the natural gas and it's lowering the supplies and inventories, that it's actually making the price go higher. Homes relying on electricity for heat, about 38% of the U.S., they're going to experience about a 2% more compared from last year. And heating oil customers, they got some good news and they got some bad news. Their average bill should drop about 2%, but they'll still pay an average of over $2, and it's the second highest on record behind last year's what they paid. So prices are going up, and again, if it's a colder winter than normal, you'll see much higher prices on heating oil. And again, it's going to dampen the economy, and you know, people aren't going to be out there spending what they normally would. And when you have an economy that's based on 70% of people out there spending, they won't be able to do it. But the government keeps spending now.
Oh, absolutely. That's what it's here for. And government exists for two purposes. One, to take your money, and two, to spend it on somebody else.
Do they have mechanical bulls in Texas?
They have real bulls and they have mechanical bulls. They probably have imaginary bulls and fictitious bulls. I don't know. But Texas, if there's bulls to be found, you can find them in Texas.
Well, I found some interesting information today, and it also involves Happy Valley here in State College, Pennsylvania. And as we all know, the government was shut down. They sent federal workers home, some anyway. But Monday, October 7th, there was a contract that was awarded to Mechanical Bull Sales, Inc. of State College, Pennsylvania. The contract was for a little over $47,000. And according to the GSA, the National Guard of Utah made the request for a bull which needs to be durable and low maintenance. That bull was sold to the Utah National Guard. They needed to meet state safety requirements, and the bulls are approved for use in all 50 states and Canada and for amusement rides. But what's interesting is they use this bull. It draws attention to their message. Lieutenant Colonel Hank McIntyre, the Utah National Guard, says it draws attention to their message. He says the mechanical bulls have been used for several years by Utah National Guard recruiters, and he says the previous they had to put the previous bull down. It was broken down and beyond repair, and that ain't no bull, Al.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm wondering is, why do they need these mechanical bulls to attract attention? Haven't they heard of young women in bikinis?
Oh, is that?
I mean, that works at the automobile shows and the auto shows. What hasn't the National Guard heard about that sort of thing?
Well, who knows? But the timing, you know, not very good timing. And I've seen several articles where contracts have been awarded after the first, and you know, for frivolous, and items. So,
well, mechanical bull, Melody. A lot of people say that's a frivolous item, but I suppose, from the military's perspective, it may be that the Army runs on its mechanical bulls. Used to be ran on its belly. That was. Napoleon Bonaparte's observation, the Army runs on its belly, meaning you got to feed these people. Today, perhaps it runs on its mechanical bulls. What else do we have, Melody?
You wanted to talk a little bit about Obama backing down?
Yeah, that's it. You know, we just heard you were talking about an article, news report in the last 8 minutes or so. Obama said he would negotiate under certain circumstances on the Obamacare bill. And so maybe now he's ready to negotiate. I have an article here that was published earlier today, saying that the House GOP is willing to threaten the American economy to score political points. This is political with President Obama. But he showed no signs of backing down from his steadfast position to not negotiate with Republicans as long as the federal government is shut down and the federal debt crisis is not resolved. So earlier today, they reported he showed no signs of backing down. Then more recently, he says, yeah, maybe we'll back down a little bit and the rest of it. And the article continues. House GOP's president again called GOP House Speaker John Boehner to call a vote on a clean bill to reopen Washington immediately. He also spoke of the grave consequences that await if the U.S. hits the debt limit, which is expected to occur as soon as next week. You know, as soon as next week, they hit the $16.7 trillion debt ceiling limit about 4 months ago, and nothing has happened. All right? I'm not absolutely certain what if anything would happen if they hit this debt ceiling. I know people are saying, oh my gosh, the sky is going to fall, and maybe it will, but why didn't it fall before now? Imagine, he goes on and he's complaining about the Republicans and so on. His words came just hours after he spoke by phone to Mr. Boehner, but the two made no visible progress, and the showdown between the two sides appeared destined to drag on for at least another few days. And that's just what's likely to happen. Another few days, and then, miraculously, Boehner and Obama will reach an agreement. They'll be photographed standing arm in arm and smiling, and how the two of them have worked to avert a world catastrophe. And the United States and the world in general will once again be saved at the last minute by our beloved government. Whew. Thank goodness for our government saviors, huh? But as Bill Holter points out, he's getting an article. We'll get into his article in a moment. This is a very dangerous game of chicken that our politicians are playing. If one side or the other doesn't swerve in time, we just might suffer a crash. Here, Bill Holter is writing. He says, Washington is playing a very dangerous game right now. The shutdown, the debt ceiling, and then topping it off by tying Obamacare to it has all the potential to make this really ugly. One side or the other, Republicans against Obamacare, Democrats against government shutdown, absolutely have to give in or blink. Our creditors are watching closely and will put even more pressure on the Federal Reserve to sop up the global selling of treasuries, which began in May. Now, this was something that I wasn't aware of. Maybe perhaps everyone else is, but I wasn't. Holter implies that the Federal Reserve is not merely buying the new treasuries issued by the U.S. government, and that's what's happening. 80% of the new treasuries issued by the government are being purchased by the Federal Reserve right now. And they're doing that in order to maintain the illusion that these treasuries are worth something like their face value, when in fact, if it were out on just the free market, if it was up to the free market to buy U.S. bonds, no telling what the real price of those bonds would be. But Holter implies that he expects more pressure on the Federal Reserve to sop up global selling of treasuries that began in May. So he's implying that the Federal Reserve is not merely buying new treasuries issued by the United States government. It may also be buying old treasuries that are currently held by foreign countries, and the foreign countries are dumping their U.S. treasuries, and the Federal Reserve, the implication is that the Federal Reserve may be buying them, perhaps at an exaggerated price, at a higher price than they would otherwise command in the free market. And they're doing this in order to maintain the illusion that U.S. treasuries have a higher value than we would see in the free market. Federal Reserve, if this is correct, Federal Reserve has become the world's white elephant burial ground, where the white elephants, of course, are U.S. treasuries. More, if the Federal Reserve is buying both domestic and foreign-held U.S. treasuries, it's pumping more Federal Reserve notes, dollars, into both the U.S. and foreign economies. This implies there's going to be significant, not just domestic inflation, but global inflation of the fiat dollar in the foreseeable future. Holter continues. He says the Treasury has only 9 days or so to get its debt ceiling raised. Changing Obamacare, other than completely defunding it or erasing it, would take 6 months or more. There's no time left. Not that it really matters, because we are so far past over the cliff. But how much of a raise in the debt ceiling is enough? And that's a pretty good question. We need to see these debt ceilings raised. Everybody pretty much agrees that that's going to have to happen. But how much? We're going from $16.7 trillion to what? $18 trillion? $20 trillion? $30 trillion? How high are they going to raise the debt ceiling? Enough to last any amount of time before the same process needs to start all over again? And how much is too much? Too much, as in enough to create a panic where people exit from the existing treasury bills when they realize the sky is the real limit on the funding, the stimulus that will support these treasury bills. The big point in all of this is that while we will almost certainly be saved, all right, there isn't going to be a shutdown, but there could be. A real shutdown is possible, and it's possible that the consequences could cause the entire U.S. economy and perhaps the global economy to implode, collapse. Now, is it going to happen? No. I believe that Boehner and Obama will get together at more or less the last moment. They may get together this week or early next week, and they're going to come to some sort of an agreement. That's almost certainly true. But here is the point. You and I and this nation are within 2 weeks right now of an economic collapse. If they mishandle the negotiations and the settlement, the deals and whatever has to be cut in Washington, D.C. right now, if they mess this up, they could precipitate an economic collapse in this country. It's possible. And what's scary about that, it means that you and I are living in a world where right this moment we are perhaps 2 weeks from an economic collapse. That's scary. I don't think it's going to happen. But the fact that it could happen all by itself is a Very sobering prospect. We'll talk more about this when we return and take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with my co-host, Melody Cederstrom. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What are you saying, Melody?
Hey, we have a... I'm going to carry it through one more day, but I did adjust the price.
We have a special, then. That's what we're talking about right now?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. The $5 Liberty Gold Piece, AU condition. It is my favorite small fractional piece because it has your supply and demand factor in there. You're paying a great price for it. It's almost a quarter of an ounce. It's got a $5 face value on it. So it really serves all purposes, this $5 gold piece. And we're going to include also 20 Morgan silver dollars. We have a combination of pre-21s and 21s of Morgan silver dollars. It's included in the package, free shipping, but I did adjust the price on it because we've just been carrying it too long. That new package price is $1,045, and that's priced the same way, but that just goes to show you how much the gold has risen on those coins. So $1,045 includes all your shipping costs. You can buy one package, 10 packages, 100 packages. Well, maybe not 100. I'm not sure. It'd be might a little tough to pick up all those $5 liberties. But give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. If you want 100 packages and we don't have all 100 coins, we'll get you something else in there at a very good price. So just give us a call. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins, C-O-I-N-S.com. And if you have any questions for today's program, you can use questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com. And if you'd like to comment or you have a question for us, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And we do have some questions from yesterday's that came in, but Al, I think you'd like to finish.
We can take the questions or go ahead. We can do it. Here's the one article that we've got on suddenly nervous China tells the U.S. to earnestly take steps to avoid default. They're concerned about a default, which could happen 9 days from now. In theory, could happen. And if it did, there could be a lot of serious trouble from this. Not so much because they shut the government down, but because they can't pay their bills. And if they can't, it could result in a loss of credit rating. It could result in higher interest rates. It would make the government less able to borrow in the future. It would restrict government activities in the future. And it would also threaten the value of U.S. securities that are being held by China. They've got about $1.3 trillion of U.S. securities over there in China, and they're concerned that they're going to, the value of those securities could be badly diminished if the government defaults after they don't, they somehow they mess up, they don't get a resolution to the government shutdown problem and the debt ceiling problem, and as a result, they wind up defaulting on some of the debt after 9 days from now. Right? Could be big trouble. And what they're saying, of course, China is saying, is that a U.S. default can hurt foreign interests. Yeah. Government defaults on its debt, oh my gosh, China might be hurt. But if it follows that we can, that a U.S. default will hurt foreign interests, does it also follow the default might nevertheless help U.S. interests? It's a peculiar question. Of course, the government is, if the government openly defaulted on some of its debt, the government would also lose some of its credit rating. Future borrowing could become so costly, the government would be prevented from borrowing more money to go deeper into debt. Interest rates would rise, which would slow borrowing, but would also attract currency to flow back into the United States. And there'd be more money available to be loaned. Yeah, the interest rates would be higher, but it would also, but you'd be able to get money out of banks. Right now, when we have low interest rates, the money tends to flow to foreign economies that are paying higher interest. Creditors don't want to work for, you know, 2 or 3% if they can make 8, 9, 10% overseas. They don't want to lend their money for in the United States. So it causes money to flow out. And you can say, oh, we have low interest rates. Yeah, there's no money to be loaned. If you could get a loan, it'd be cheap. But can you get a loan? It would be more expensive to get a loan after the United States defaulted. But it would also be easier insofar as there'd be more credit available to be loaned in this country. Now, it appears that American individuals and institutions that had invested in U.S. treasuries would suffer significant financial losses in the event of a default. But on the other hand, an overt default might function like a mini bankruptcy that wiped out part of the national debt. If a big chunk of the national debt were destroyed by default, would that be such a bad thing? Yeah, the government, the American people would suffer losses in the event of the default, but would the resultant curve, the resulting curb on future U.S. borrowing and reduction in the size of the national debt be great enough to justify those losses? And the answer is probably not. But the other answer is maybe. Is it just possible that the government is playing chicken with the possibility of default because they maybe see, because they might see some advantage to a default? No, the answer is no, probably not. That's probably just more conspiracy talk. But it's not impossible. We had another report here from the BBC dealing with China, and they make some interesting comments here. Mr. Zhu, who is the vice finance minister in China, he said that China and the U.S. are inseparable. Beijing is a huge investor in U.S. Treasury bonds. And what he's talking about, he says, you and me, buddy, we got to work together on this thing. And what he's simply saying is that whenever you get into a debt relationship, credit relationship, the debtor and the creditor become inseparable. Huh? Especially the creditor becomes extremely dependent on the debtor. The debtor signed a piece of paper and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay you back $100,000 or maybe $1 trillion, in the case of China. And China is concerned that maybe the debtor's not going to make good on the debt. And then what? China's $1.3 trillion can disappear. We hear the stories about China, Ken. They can flood the market with U.S. treasuries by trying to sell all $1.3 trillion worth of their treasuries. And in doing so, they'd make the value of treasuries. It would be obvious that they were, who knows, they could fall to 20 cents on a dollar for all I know. There would be a significant decline in the value of U.S. treasuries. China has that power. But we got power, too. What if we sit back and say, sorry, China, we're not going to be able to pay that $1.3 trillion? You know, both sides, once you get caught in this debtor-creditor relationship, both sides become inseparable and both sides become vulnerable to the other, and both sides become dependent on the other. And what they're doing, China's inability to separate itself from the debtor, the United States, illustrates a fundamental lesson that we've preached here on financial survival for years. And that lesson shows the dangers of all paper debt instruments on the fundamental value of gold. When nations or individuals store their wealth in the form of paper debt instruments, one man's asset is another man's debt. If the debtor can't pay, the creditor's paper wealth becomes worthless. The creditor is always dependent on that debtor. Extremely dependent on them. Now, you might hold a piece of paper that says $100,000 in the upper right-hand corner. You might brag to friends that you have $100,000 in assets. But the truth is that true assets are something tangible that can be owned and possessed without regard to someone else's ability or willingness to make good on a promise to pay. When you store your wealth in the form of paper debt instruments, just like China, they got $1.3 trillion stored in the form of U.S. treasuries. When you store your wealth in that paper form, you don't really have an asset. All you have is a paper IOU whose value absolutely depends on your debtor's capacity and willingness to make good on his paper promises. If the debtor announces that he or she can't or won't pay that IOU, you lose your paper assets. They disappear. On the other hand, if you're storing your wealth in a tangible form, such as gold or silver, your wealth can't be destroyed by some debtor's inability or unwillingness to pay. It's one of the great advantages. There's no counterparty risk. It means you're not dependent on the debtor to make good on his promise. And this is important in this world because the quantity, the sum, the magnitude of the promises to pay are so enormous that clearly the debt, the total debt, the global debt, the national debt, it can't be paid. And it means that some significant portion of people that are holding those paper debt instruments are going to lose their assets. And we're just seeing this, and I just bring this up with this business about China to illustrate. They're caught. They understand that they are dependent on the United States government, and they are dependent. If we default on that debt, China's going to have a problem. And it illustrates a principle we talk about on the program that applies to individuals. I just want you to see it also applies to governments. It applies to nations. And prudent people will store as much of their wealth as possible in a form of media that is not subject to a debtor's refusal to pay. And gold and silver are probably the two primary tangible media that you can use to store your wealth. There's also land, and there's other things. There's tools and guns and bullets, and there's a number of things you can do. But in terms of liquidity, in terms of convenience and maximum confidence, very difficult to get around gold and silver. What else, Melody?
That was great, Al. It's very, it gets confusing for a lot of folks out there trying to understand what is going on and how it applies. And we can see how it applies to governments, and now they need to realize how it applies to them. And, you know, they can be their own central bank. They can be, because they're holding debt instruments as you.
That's exactly right. And we're living in a world that is so fraught with this, with the fraud that's inherent in all of these paper debt instruments. We are immersed in the fraud that's inherent in fractional reserve banking, where the bank has $100 in the bank and they can use that as a basis to loan $1,000 that don't otherwise exist. They have no tangible reality. We live in a world where there is allegedly 1.2, now most recent estimates, it's been as high as 1.4. I saw an estimate just lately, $1.2 quadrillion worth of derivatives that are circling the globe. That's an impossible number. It's like infinity, practically. It's irrational that we could have any amount of debt instruments in this world that would amount to $1.4 quadrillion, and yet we do. This is like playing a Monopoly game where everybody at the game gets $1 trillion to spend. The game just doesn't make sense. You got more money than you can possibly ever spend. You got more debt than you can ever possibly repay. The whole thing becomes irrational. In that irrational environment, I believe it's incumbent on each of us to do something rational. To recognize that the irrational has to stop functioning. It can't go on forever. And those people that engage in some sort of irrational decisions and they say, wait a second, this is crazy. I'm not going to do this crazy stuff anymore. I'm going to try to do something smart. Well, all right, fine. Do something smart. In the case of storing your wealth, put it, or at least much of it, in a tangible form. And again, China's just illustrating that point, and China's doing that. China's doing that as much as they can. They've been buying, they've been buying more gold than India. And I don't, but
it's
certainly
close,
it's close at least. They've been buying tons and tons. They get it. They're hoping to God to get away from this paper before it all burns up in their face. And they're trying to get into something tangible. They get it. And it's important that the American people, in my opinion, it's important that the American people also get this message, that they understand it's going to be incumbent on you to do whatever is necessary. We are living in a world, as pointed out earlier in the program, where we are within 2 weeks of a financial collapse that could result in national chaos. I don't expect it's going to happen. I'm not trying to sell fear per se and tell you, oh, the sky is going to fall just 2 weeks from now. I'm not saying that, but I am saying it has to be sobering to sit back and say, holy cow, this whole system is so fragile that it could go up for grabs 2 weeks from now. Not 2 months from now. Not 2 years from now. 2 weeks from now. When you look at that, this is the sort of thing, it's like being on the Titanic again. And you look out and say, oh my gosh, there's icebergs out there. Well, we're going to hope that the captain can negotiate around the icebergs. But we are close to icebergs. And we have to know that the ship, despite claims to the contrary, is not unsinkable. It can be sunk. Point. Get your life preserver. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Do I hear you chuckling again, Melody?
No.
Yeah, you are. You're chuckling. You're laughing at the way I'm speaking to these people.
There's something. I am not.
Yeah, you are. You're laughing at me again, Melody. I don't mind when you're laughing with me, but when you're laughing at me, Melody.
I wouldn't do that. You have mechanical bulls there in Texas. I wouldn't laugh. Got a question in. China or India, they don't care about Goldman or Chase predictions of lower metal prices or strong dollar. So he doesn't know who they're trying to get to sell their gold. Maybe they want Johnny Lunchbucket's Krugerrand. China and India know dollar is toast and are probably forcing them to sell the metals, or they will dump the dollars quickly to cut their losses from the infinite money printing. Government can't stop printing, ever. He hopes someday that Americans will revolt and prosecute the government for letting a private organization, banks, bankrupt the Americans' wealth. It could be bloody because the rule of law will work the other way, or no law will work the other way also. Do you agree?
Oh, generally speaking, the scenario he's describing is, it's plausible. One of the things he said... He's talking about China doesn't care about lower metal prices. Well, of course they care about lower metal prices. Anyone who holds metal is going to care about it. But what you have to weigh that against is you have to weigh It's not just about lower metal prices. It's also about lower dollar values. Coming at a time when there is no solution to our problems, it's going to be pure and, you know, just do what we tell you and you're sure to live happily ever after. It won't be that way. It's going to be do what we tell you and you might live halfway decently while the rest of the world is going right down the toilet. You may be able to survive where other people are not. It's not a question of expecting that you're going to live in luxury per se, but you might live. That's more the point. China looks at this and says, look, we got a $1.3 trillion worth of paper over here, and I don't know how many trillions of dollars they have in terms of gold. But from their perspective, they know that that gold is going to have value. It's going to have value tomorrow and a year from now and 50 years from now and 5 centuries from now. That gold will have value. And they also know that sooner or later the paper will not. The gold, the value of the gold might go up, might go down. All right? But it will have value when the paper and the value of the paper ultimately turns to zero and you get nothing out of the paper. So, you know, China cares whether the price of gold is going up or down. They would rather it went up. But even if it goes down, they are still saving their wealth in a form that's going to be reliable for a long time and for a great deal of time into the future. What else did they say? Government can't. Go ahead.
And, you know, China's just not buying gold and silver to protect themselves. They're out there buying the commodities. We talk about, Al, you mentioned, you know, land and other things, but, you know, with gold being, you know, more liquid and as an easier way to store. But China's out there buying up things. They are buying up commodities. They're making agreements with various countries. They're going in. They're going after the minerals and everything. They know what they need. And
what are they buying with?
U.S. dollars.
And why are they doing that?
Dumping them.
That's exactly right. They're not dying, but they're not buying necessarily simply because they are greedy and they want more land and they want more oil and they want more this, that. They're not buying simply because they need more land, need more oil. Not just a matter of greed. They're buying because they got a bunch of dollars that they know are going to turn out to be worthless in the near future. And they're trying to dump them. And it's not easily done. I mean, it's the sort of thing, if they dump too many, the value of the dollar falls and they get caught holding the $1 trillion worth of dollars that they have caused to be worth only $500 billion as compared to what they are today. They have to be careful, but they're trapped and they're trying to shed the dollars. It's not just buying. It's dumping. And it's evidence of what we're talking about. You have to be careful of the paper. In the end, there's too many debt instruments in the world and they can't all be made good. Can't happen. So,
and it's not only like China is a country that has their stuff together. They have severe structural problems, you know, with their shadow banking and everything and the way they've done things over the past years. So they do have to be very careful because they are so fractured.
And do you know what else they have to be? They have to be very rational.
Yes.
Precisely because they're in so much trouble, they can't just sit back and say, "Ah, who cares? Let's party down." They're in a they're in a fragile position. They are vulnerable, and as a result, they have to be very rational to the best of their ability. Now, I won't argue that what they're doing is absolutely true, absolutely foolproof, and the rest of that. But nevertheless, they appreciate that. If their economy collapses, there's going to be real chaos. People talk about, oh, we might have chaos in this country if we had an economic collapse. Whatever happens in this country it'll be like a picnic compared to what an economic collapse in China or some other countries would be. If those foreign countries collapse, there's going to be real trouble. In this country, it's going to be painful. In their country, it's going to be lethal. And they know that, and what I'm trying to illustrate is they are not buying gold just because somebody says, hey, I know, why don't we get some gold? What do you say? Who's with me? That's not what's going on here. These people have to be rational. If they are irrational, if they make mistakes, their country can collapse, and they have such an enormous population. The resulting chaos, God only knows how many people could die if they make dumb decisions. So it's good evidence that they're trying hard. This country, we don't have to try hard. We haven't had to try hard probably since World War II. We've had the luxury of being able to behave like a bunch of fools. All right? And many people think we still have that luxury, and we don't. That luxury is gone, but we have we've become habituated to the idea we can be as dumb as we want, baby. We can just turn our hats sideways and grab our groin, and we can be ignorant, and it'll just be fun to talk like a bunch of morons. That's going to come to an end, and it's going to happen within a few years, and it could happen in a few months. We're moving that direction right now. And point, you got to get smart. The only thing that's going to save you in a world that is irrational and dominated by people, at least in this country, who believe they're entitled to behave like damn fools, the only thing that's going to save you, you have to get smart. You have to do some serious thinking, and you have to prepare for whatever you think may be coming in the future, because there's not going to be anybody there to take care of you, more than likely. So is the guy, whoever sent that email, is his scenario plausible, including the idea that if the government behaves in a lawless manner now, when this thing all goes down, he's warning that the people may behave in a lawless manner, and not just to themselves. He's at least implying that they will behave in a lawless manner relative to government. Is that a credible scenario? Yeah, it's credible. I won't say it's going to happen. I'm not making that prediction per se, but could it happen? Yes, absolutely. Seems so to me, at least. What else, Melody?
Anything can happen during times of... You know, you were talking, I saw a report earlier, I don't have it on my desk, and we'll have to talk about it tomorrow. There was a quota gathering, data gathering of...
A poll.
A poll. People here in the States versus people around in various industrialized nations. And the U.S. Came in as the dumber of the group.
Yeah.
Unable to recognize certain things in problems and so forth. So we'll have to talk about that tomorrow. But here's another question. And Sorsha Fial.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
In regards to the woman last week who was gunned down last Thursday, Miriam Carey, 34-year-old woman. She stated that she was deliberately targeted by an elite hit squad under orders to assassinate. And this is from her sources are always the Russian intelligence officials. Say was the mother of Obama's love child.
I'll tell you what, Sorsha Fial, if he or she, I don't even know if it's a woman or a man.
I think it's a woman.
I know the name sounds like that of a woman. It may be. It might be a man. Woman. It might be a man. I always thought it was a woman too, but we don't really know. It's a name I'm not familiar with. Sorsha. I don't know if it's typically associated with men or women. I don't know if Sorsha Fial is a man or a woman. I don't know if it's one man or a group of people that are writing under that pseudonym. Right. But what I do know is that Sorsha Fial is a brilliant writer. And I know that I read a number of her or his articles back, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or more. I don't remember exactly when they first started to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely seduced and deceived.
Yes.
By her articles. And I came to understand that article after article, although they seemed plausible to me, and I thought they were real when I first saw them, I came to understand, no, they're fraud.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't trust that author. I don't care what she says. All right, now, she's alleging that this is the mother of Obama's love child. All right, and that was the reason for the assassination and the hit squad. The rest of it. I think that's just a bunch of nonsense myself. But I know the Sorsha Fial's. I don't know what the truth of the matter is today. I don't know where Sorsha Fial's morality and her what is her inclination, her what does she intend to do, her intention. I don't know if she's but I know that several years ago it was one fraud after another after another, and I wouldn't trust that name. I wouldn't trust anything.
You don't want to. There's radio people, radio hosts that do the same thing, and they have, you know, people continue to go back to them. They flock to them. Mm-hmm. They're obsessed with them. They follow them. They idolize them.
Yep.
And we can tell him every time, well, you know, we've been saying this for how many years? Everything that he says is wrong. But yet they have such appeal. They have this attraction.
We've talked about this before. And it's one of the things to be a very successful communicator on programs like this, for example. You've got to speak with enormous confidence. And it doesn't matter whether you tell the truth or you tell a lie, but you must say it with enormous confidence. And people will follow you. Not based on what you've said, not based on their ability to analyze what you've said, but merely on the basis of the confidence with which you speak. When we do this program, we let you know, look, we don't know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. I try to communicate the idea that there is an obligation, not just on my part to try to tell people the truth, but on your part, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, you have an obligation, too, to try to discern, is this man making sense or not? And when we do that, we necessarily detract from the public's desire to just hear absolute confidence from whoever's speaking. And it may be that detracts from the total number of listeners we might otherwise have on the program. But it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to alert you to the idea. Look, there's parts of this, there's parts of what we talk about that it's just speculative. It's conjectural. We don't exactly know for sure. It's what it looks like to us. This is what we think. What do you think? We're really not here to be your leaders. We are here to help you. We're perhaps here to be something like teachers, but not leaders, not controllers, not looking for followers, but we are looking for people who want to learn how to think. And again, you know, so you have to recognize yourself that when you're following somebody's performance on radio or TV, to what extent are you attracted to the content of their ideas, and to what extent are you attracted merely by their ability to speak with enormous confidence? And you've got to be able to discern between the two, because otherwise you can be fooled, you can be hustled, you can be conned. You got to use your brain, you got to use your eyes, your ears, you got to listen, you got to pay attention, and you have to recognize that in the end, you are personally responsible for the ideas that you embrace. You are personally responsible for your decision to follow one source as opposed to another source. And that responsibility will translate into liability. If you follow fools, you're going to pay the fool's price. We're about out of time, Melody. Anything you want to add before we close?
You know, knowing how women react, I thought that this was the first time I heard this scenario for Miriam Carey. And it's a little off the beaten
path. It's right
path.
Off the wall. They put out a... Come on.
But you know,
if you're going to shoot somebody, you're not going to chase them down the road in a car.
No. But I'll tell you what, women do react. If they're ticked off at the man, they will drive an automobile into their home. So what's interesting, though,
Not if you're in her home. Maybe your home, not her home.
What's interesting, though, is how they covered up this so much.
Well, it's a terrible situation.
It's just been buried.
It was just... they shot a woman who was... I don't know, arguably nuts with a child in the car, but she didn't shoot at anybody. Didn't even have a gun. I mean, the whole thing is wrong. It's unpleasant. It's tragic. It's wrong. We're out of time by 45 seconds. Melody, we're going to be back tomorrow. In the meantime, thank all of you for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.